Thank you so much.
Here.
Is somebody sitting here?
Thank you.
No, no one's sitting here. You can please...
This is for you.
So let's see if we can get that door closed. That door, you have to slam it really hard because there's something... Okay, we're learning Parshas Balak. We're not ready for Pinchas yet. Yeah. I'll tell you why Balak, because in most congregations in the world, in fact all that I know of, without exception, they're going to read this coming Shabbos, Parshas Balak.
Yes.
You may know that.
Yes. Right?
And in Chutzot, they already caught up to us. Thank you.
It's two pages.
Okay. So on both sides, we know two things about Parshas Balak. We know, number one, that Bilam was very excited to be hired by Balak to curse the Jewish people. He was really excited about that job. He was looking forward to it, and he was trying desperately to succeed in his goal and his objective to curse the Jewish people. That's one thing we know. The other thing we know about Parshas Balak is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu foiled his plan, and instead of curses coming out of the mouth of Bilam, what came out of the mouth of Bilam?
Blessings.
Correct, blessings. Those are the two things we know. What do you say? Correct. We'll see exactly what this all means. So I have a very exciting project for today. You know that I'm excited over the Shvilei Pinchas, which is a book written by Rav Pinchas Friedman. And he had about 8 pieces for Parshas Balak. I chose this one because this was the one I really, really got excited about. So I'm hoping that I can inspire you as well, because I was very inspired. He says the following. In the aftermath of the... You see, I don't know whether to call it the curses of Bilam or the blessings of Bilam. It's hard to use the right term, because on the one end they were curses. That's how Bilam, you know, was trying to enunciate them. But on the other hand, they came out as brachos. So in any event, there's one bracha that we're going to focus our attention on towards the end of this shiur. And right up front, we're going to demonstrate how important that bracha is. And that's the bracha that comes out of the mouth of Bilam against his will. Matovu olecha Yaakov. How important is that bracha? So you'll see in the second paragraph that there are more paskins at the beginning of Aruch Chaim that a person who enters into the Beis HaKnesses, he should recite that bracha, that pasuk, Matovu olecha Yaakov. And the Ramah quotes Rav Amram Gon, who came way, way before the Ramah, probably by 6 or 7 centuries. And Rav Amram Gon also says that when you enter into a synagogue, you should repeat the entire blessing. Matovu olecha Yaakov, Mishkenosecha Yisrael, Anibrov Chazdecha Vobitecha, Eshtachvel El Heichal Kodshecha Birasecha. Now, in a footnote, this is less important for us, but just if we're touching on this halacha of reciting that pasuk when you come into Beis HaKnesses, it's an interesting historical note that not everyone universally accepted that halacha. The Marshal, who lived 5 centuries ago, his name was Luria, he disagrees. And he says that I'm going to recite Ani Barov Chazdecha of Obeisech, but I'm not going to recite the beginning of the Pasuk Matovu Olecha, because that was recited by Bilam. And Bilam's intention when he said that was for a klol. And he sends you to Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin that Kavanoso Shel Bilam Hoiso L'Kalalo. However, you should know that despite the objection and the inhibitions of the Marshal, it's already a widely accepted custom, and you'll see it in all the Sidurim. Any Sidur, I don't have a Sidur in front of me, but open up to the first page, you'll see Shenichnas Beis HaKnesses Omer Matovu Olecha Yaakov. In fact, Does anybody remember which giant who lived five centuries ago took it upon himself to purify the sitter, so to speak, to make sure that everything is exact and precise? Anybody know who took that on? It's almost like a lifelong mission. I'll give you a hint, he lived in Tzfat. That's not really a good hint because there are many giants who lived in Tzfat five centuries ago. The Ariza. And you should know that in Chabad, for example, they accepted the Nusach Ari because the feeling was that the Ari, with his greatness, he just cleaned out all the junk, so to speak, that was in the Siddur. You know, anything that didn't belong, he took it out. But even if you look in the Arizal Siddur, you'll find that he says that when you enter into the Beis HaKnesses, you should recite Matovu Alecha Yaakov. So there's no doubt in the minds of any Jew on the face of the earth that if he has to look over Parashas Balak and identify one particular bracha, in quotation marks, that came out of the mouth of that terrible Rasha named Bilam, it would be Matovu Alecha Yaakov. There are many other beautiful psukim, but that would have to really shine through, because every time you enter into Beis HaKnesses, you recite Matovu Alecha Yaakov. Now, why is it that this particular bracha is singled out to the highest level and it accompanies us as a minig b'Yisrael the very moment we enter into a synagogue? That's what we want to study today. And we're going to begin our study with the insight of the Maharal Prague, who lived again about five centuries ago, in his work, which is one of the greatest works, called the Netzach Yisrael. And what he does is, he starts counting numbers. If you're at all familiar with the philosophy of the Maharal Prague, he's heavy into numbers. And every number has a symbolic meaning. So he starts counting in how many different locations did Bilam curse the Jewish people or bless the Jewish people. Again, I don't know which word to use, but in the mind of Bilam, he was coming to curse the Jewish people. And you may remember that Balak, if he was unsatisfied because of the foiled attempt of Bilam, he would bring Bilam to another location. So this happens thrice. The first time is what's called Bamos Baal. So again, if you have a chance to open up the Chumash, we're in Bamidbar, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Mem Aleph, and I'll announce the page if you have it in the blue, what I call the big blue Chumash. I'm not going to announce the page in the article, because otherwise we'll just be announcing pages endlessly here. Does anybody have it? Bamidbar Chav Beis, Pasuk Mem Aleph?
Page 862.
Okay. And it says the following. Do we know what page it is in the big blue Chumashim?
This is the big one, no?
No, that's right. The art scroll Chumash. So you'll tell me what the art scroll says.
862.
Okay.
6862.
Where is it in the big blue Chumashim? Do you have it?
It's
okay. What page?
397.
Okay, 397. Good. So it says the following. Vayihiba boker, vayikach bolok es bilam. You can just imagine, like, Balak putting his arm underneath Bilam's arm, and arm in arm, they go to a place called Bamos Baal. It's a high place. And Vayar Misham Ktzeh Ha'am, and this is the bracha that comes out of his mouth. Ki Mirosh Tzurim Ar'enu, Umigva'os Ashurenu, Hein Am Levadad Yishkon, Ubagoyim Lo Yischashe. Okay, very, very flowery, poetic language, beautiful stuff. Then he takes him to another place. Hopefully he'll be more successful in the other place. By the way, who already warned Bilam that he might not be so successful in his intention? Through what intermediary?
The donkey.
Not actually the donkey, but through the malach, right? So, already at the get go, before Bilam already sets out on his. But despite the malach's warning, Bilam still has high hopes, and Balak has high hopes. So it didn't work in the first case. So he takes him to a second location called Stay Sofim, which is right there. I think it's Pasuk Yedalid. You were looking at Pasuk Tes, right? And it says, Vayikhehu State Sofim. You have that?
Yes.
Okay. And here he says, "Lo hivit avon biyakov lo ra omel biyisrael Hashem elokav imo usruas melech bo hein am kelavi yakum karis nasalo yishkov al yochal terfidam chalom." Yes, again, beautiful poetry. That didn't work, so Balak takes Bilam now to a third location, which is called Rosh HaPa'or. And that's over there in Pasuk Chav Ches, and it says, "Vayikach Balak as Bilam Rosh HaPa'or, Hanishkaf al Pnei Yishimon." And now we come to the most important blessing of all, and that's in Pasuk He, "Matovu O'alecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael," etc., etc., etc. So the Maral says, what's the significance here of the number three? Why was the interest of Balak and Bilam to curse the Jewish people in three locations? What is the symbolic significance of the number three? Anybody guess what the Maral is going to have in mind?
The forefathers.
Oh, excellent, the forefathers. The three forefathers of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And the proof of the Maral is because the pasuk, the words of Bilam, "Ki mirosh tsurim arena." Now, Rosh Tsurim means the you know, when you go into a quarry, the first thing you do is you take out a large rock. That stone is going to be the basis. You know, then maybe you'll break it up into smaller and you'll build an entire structure. That's called Tsur Machtzavtam. And the Tsur Machtzavtam, that foundation, the foundation stone of Klal Yisrael, is Avram Avinu. And there are many riots for that. Then he has the pasuk Lo Hebit Oven B'Yakov V'Lo Ra Amil B'Yisrael. Now the Maral has a twist here. The pasuk itself mentions Yaakov, but it's really referring to Yitzchak. Why so? Says the Maral, and this is a very profound sugya which we believe netter at one point, we have to learn this sugya, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was out there in his anger to destroy the Jewish people, one of the three of us came out and was able to, what we call, be melamed zchus for Klali. So how would you translate that? You know, sanigorio, meaning when you have a defense attorney and he puts forth a saving argument on behalf of his client.
Right.
That's called limud zchus. You know, maybe the judge is about to put this guy in. You know, he's going to hand down a verdict that he has to be incarcerated for 10 years. The defense attorney comes with a clemency argument. That's called limud zchus. Which one of the avos was the one who succeeded when everything was in the balance? And he came forward with an argument on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It was Yitzchak. Whole Gemara over there. Yitzchak says, you know, when Hashem is looking to destroy the Jewish people, he wakes up Yitzchak out of his grave and he says, "Banecha, your children have gone off the derech. You know, they've rebelled against me, and I'm going to destroy them." So Yitzchak turns back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, "Oh, banecha. You're talking to me and saying your children, meaning Yitzchak, and they're not your banecha. You call them banim. Anyway, there's a whole dialogue that ensues, and in the zchus of Yitzchak Avinu, lo hebit oven be Yaakov. So the word Yaakov here refers to the Jewish people, not to Yaakov as the third of the avos. And lo hebit oven be Yaakov means God would overlook the sins, the iniquities of the people of Israel. And why? Because of the schus, the Gemara says, of Yitzchak Avinu. Then we get to the third pasuk, "My tovu olecha Yaakov." Here the word Yaakov refers not to the people of Israel, but to the third of the avos. And why is the word olecha related to Yaakov? Everybody?
We learn in the fence.
Correct. What does the pasuk says? It says Yaakov is ish ohalim. Correct? So Isha Olim, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, it makes sense that this corresponds to the third of the ovals. So Bilam obviously wanted to undermine the Jewish people by disconnecting them from the three ovals, and God turns it into what? Into bracha, and therefore the bracha is that we are the offspring of the greatest tzaddikim, the three ovals. Now the Maral goes on and he counts another number. And he says the following, that the number 10 becomes very significant. Why? Because Bilam, again, his intention was to curse the Jewish people, but he came up with 10 different brachos. Okay? And this, the Maral bases himself on the Gemara that we mentioned earlier in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Hey Amid Beis. And again, every bracha conceals a klola, meaning if you focus on the bracha and the theme of the bracha, you'll understand that Bilam was coming to curse the Jewish people. So the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan, a famous statement, "Mi berchaso shel oso rasha talomed mahaya beliba." In other words, if you carefully isolate or identify the themes of the various brachos of Bilam, you'll really be able to reveal what he really was interested in doing by cursing the Jewish people with those same themes. Number one, Bikesh lomar shlo yulam batei knesios ubatei midrashos. He wanted to curse them that they should not have synagogues or houses of study. And therefore Hashem makes it into a bracha matovo alecha Yaakov. So please note, you may want to underline this on the left column, that O'alecha here means two things. It means Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. We'll come back to discuss that at great length in Mirtz Hashem. Then, you look at the next bracha, which again was a klola from Bilam's hopeful perspective, Mishkanosecha Yisrael. Mishkanosecha comes from Loshon Shechina, and he was hoping to undermine Hashras HaShechina B'Yisrael. Then he says Kenachalim Natayu, which means they tried to undermine our Malchus. Okay, you have to understand why Malchusan here in this pasuk is called Natayu, Nachalim Natayu. Again, you have to go through the sugi. We're not going to do that now. We just want to get the flow of the Gemara. He also says Kiganos Alei Nahar, and that's a reference to Zesim V'Karamim, that the Jewish people should not settle the land of Israel, produce olives and wine and grapes. And then Kol Holim Not Hashem, Oholim is a reference to a beautiful aroma, meaning that the people of Israel are a very, a nation of light, a light unto the nations, an aroma unto the nations. This is not any sort of marketing for aroma up the block here. I didn't mean to. And then he says that they shouldn't be balei koma, meaning they shouldn't live to great status in their spiritual beings. And that's why he says karozim Alei Mayim, which I think is translated as a cedar tree, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the tallest trees that we have. They shouldn't be zochet to have a melech ben melech, meaning if they do get one king, it shouldn't pass on to his heir, Yizol Kamayim Midolyo. And then he says the Malchus should not have any control over the nations of the world, Vizar v'mayim Rabim, etc., etc. So if you count up all the brachos, which are really from Bilam's perspective close, you get to the number 10. Okay? Comes along the Maral with an amazing chiddush. Why was Bilam interested in cursing the Jews with 10 different curses? What's the significance of the number 10? And he says that if you look carefully at a different parasha, which indicates what's going to be unique about the Jewish people, the blessings that are bestowed on the Jewish people. Who's going to bless the Jewish people for the first time in Tanakh?
A guy.
Which guy? Bilam? But there's something before Bilam. That's Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak bestows blessings upon Yaakov. Says the Maral, go through the blessings of Yitzchak for Yaakov and you find the magic number 10. Let's do it. The Medrash says, it's the bottom left of your first page, turning on to the other side of your page. The Medrash says, Liyakov birech eser brachos. Yitzchak bestows no less than 10 blessings on Yaakov. What are they? Number one, v'yitein l'chalu kim mital ha-shamayim. Number two, mishmanei ha-aretz. Number three, rov dagan. Number four, tirosh. Number five, yavducha amim. Number six, yishtachvu l'chalu umim. Number seven, hevei gvir la'achecha. Number eight, vishtachvu l'cha b'nei mecha. Number nine, orecha arur. And finally, number 10, mivarecha baruch. And the Maral presents the following thesis. Bikesh Bilam, when Chazal say that he really was intended to curse the Jewish people, it was 10 curses. And the purpose of those 10 curses was to nullify the 10 blessings that Yaakov Avinu received from his father Yitzchak. Yitzchak, if you remember, when Yaakov came forward, he was wearing the big day chamudas of Esav, and as a result of the fact that Yaakov Avinu took the brachos that were originally intended for Esav, then the descendants of Esav, starting with Esav himself, held a grudge, I mean that's an understatement, against the people of Yaakov. And this goes on throughout Jewish history. So they just remember that Yitzchak's original intention was based on false information. Why did Yitzchak want to bestow the blessings on Esav? It's only because the pasuk says, "Vayelv Yitzchak es Esav." He found Esav beloved in his eyes. Ki tzayed b'fiv. Chazal say, Rashi quotes it. He yodea tzayed. Tzayed means he knows how to fool someone. He would ask his father, you know, beefed up questions. He was living a horrible lifestyle from a spiritual religious perspective, but he would fake, he would put on a facade, we would say, and he'd ask his father, well, I have salt, should I be mafresh maser from the salt? I have tevin. Again, there's a lot to talk about here, but not for now, why he chose these questions. Anyway, kasavar aviv, Rashi says, his father Yitzchak was fooled into thinking shehu, meaning Esav, was medagdek b'mitzvahs. He's a very pious Jew, and he deserves the brachos. Again, Rabosai, this requires a very long discussion. Yitzchak was not so naive, and there are deeper meanings here that go way beyond the pshat. But in any event, the bottom line is that the people of Esav, his descendants throughout the generations, harbor a resentment against the Jewish people because their forefather Yaakov took the brachos that were, again, mistakenly intended for their father Esau. So now Bilam thinks, okay, Yaakov Avinu took the blessings from Esau, I'm going to go ahead and curse the Jewish people with 10 curses that will undermine the 10 brachos that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon, that Yitzchak Avinu bestowed upon Yaakov. Where does he start? So he says the following. If we take the bracha of Matovu Olecha Yaakov, we'll see that that bracha corresponds to the bracha that Yaakov stole, so to speak, from Esav, and he received from the mouth of Yitzchak Avinu. And that's the bracha of the Bati Knesios, Bati Midrashos, and Bilam wants to try to vitiate those brachos, to be mevatel those brachos, and therefore he wants to curse the Jewish people. They should be disconnected from the Oholim of Yaakov, meaning the Oholim that are the Bati Knesios and the Bati Midrashos. Now there's one element in the parsha of Yaakov and Esav which should be emphasized here, because it really touches on this concept of bracha, of the brachos that Yaakov, so to speak, stole from Esav. Because you'll remember that when Esav, together with his 400 legion strong army, comes to look for Yaakov Avinu, what happens the night before that encounter between Yaakov and Esav, when Esav is running on the warpath for Yaakov? There's an encounter between Yaakov and Amalek, who's the Soros Shel Esav. And at the end of this encounter, when they're battling together and the dust is going up in the air, the Malach turns to Yaakov and says, Shalcheni, send me on my way, ki ola hashachar. And Yaakov makes this conditional. He says, lo ashalechecha ki im berachtani. He demands a bracha from the Soros Shel Esav. Rashi says, what was he really asking for? Hodoli al habrachos shebirchani avi she'esav ma'ar alehem. I want you to represent the people of Esav, the nation of Esav, and confess and admit that these brachos really were meant, or I deserve these brachos and not Esav. And this plays a role here in the parasha of Balak of Bilam, because basically God is going to force Bilam to admit that all his klalos are really brachos. God is going to convert, transform all of Bilam's intended klalos into brachos. And why? You have a gripe against the people of Israel because they stole the brachos? Oh, no. Your malach, representing your people, already gave the hodah that these brachos deserve to Yaakov. Okay. But now we have a very, very hard Gemara to study, again in the same sugya in Sanhedrin Kufi. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Kula, all the brachos that Bilam bestowed upon the Jewish people, Chazru L'Klol, they went back to being Klolos, meaning the original intention of Bilam was never lost. It still comes back to plague the Jewish people throughout their history, and that intention now is in the shadows, and from time to time it comes out of the shadows. Chutz, with the exception of one bracha, which is an absolute eternal bracha that will never be replaced or repealed by the original intention of Bilam. And which bracha is that? You guessed it, Matovo Alecha Yaakov, Mishkano Sechi Yisrael. And Rashi quotes it, not here, but in Dvarim. So this is kedai to see inside. If you can open up your Chumash, I believe it's Parshas Ki Tetzeh, and it's Dvarim Chav Gimel, Pasuk Vav. Again, if you could tell me what page it's on, I'll announce the page. Because this is a very, very important Pasuk, which serves as the basis for the entire sugya of the bracha, so to speak, of Bilam.
Dvarim
Chav Gimel 23, Pasuk Vav, that's 23:6. It should start with the word Vayafoch. Do we have it? I just want you to see it inside, because the entire essay that we're about to study.
What? Chav Gimel. And then what, Vav?
Yeah. Do you see Vayafoch?
Yes.
No,
what page do you have?
1054.
Whoa, 1054. That's.
Yeah, but I don't see the word. Oh, Yafoch. Yeah.
Vayafoch. Again, it might not be the first word in the verse. I don't know.
It's not.
Okay, that doesn't matter. We just want to focus on that word, because Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana in Sanhedrin focuses on Vayafoch. What does Vayafoch mean? To transform. And the pasuk itself says, "Vayafoch Hashem Elokecha." God transforms lecha, meaning on your behalf, the behalf of the Jewish people, as a klala libracha, the curse into a blessing. And why does Hashem do that? Ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha, because out of His love for the Jewish people. Now it's interesting that it says klala. If this pasuk was referring to all the curses that Bilam had intended, then what would the word be? In what grammatical conjugation? It wouldn't be klol, it would be klolos, right? In the plural. So it seems that the pasuk is telling us that Hashem would convert only one klol, it's in singular, to make it into a bracha.
Wow.
And Rashi says that all the other klolos remain klolos, that would somehow, you know, pursue the Jewish people, but there's one that became an absolute bracha. And what's that? Rashi says, Mibate knesios ubate midrashos. You have it there in Rashi? Shalo yifziku mi Yisrael yolam. That there will never be a period of time in the Jewish history when there will be an absolute void of bate knesios and bate midrashos. So we have near an unbelievable chiddush here, that at the end of the day, from all the brachos that Bilam blessed the Jewish people, there's only one bracha that will be li'olam, that will be an absolute bracha that will always eternally apply to the Jewish people, because all the other brachos except for that one would always remain in potential klolos, and the only one is Matovo Alecha Yaakov, Batei Knesios, in Bati Midrash Lo Yifsiku Mi Yisrael Li Olam. And we see very carefully, very clearly, that this bracha of Batik Nesius Batik Midrashos is a bracha that was transformed from the klala in a total way. Again, Bilam's initial intention was, as we saw in the Gemara, to cut off the Jewish people from houses of worship, houses of study. But Hashem converted it into a total, complete, absolute, eternal blessing called Matovo Lecha Yaakov. Shal Yifsiku Mi Yisrael Liolam. We're going to ask now four questions, like we do on the night of the Seder. If anybody wants to take a scorecard and be my stenographer, if you're not insulted, it's Torah, so I can ask you to do that. Number one, how is it possible that all the brachos that are here recorded in the beautiful language, the poetic liturgical language of this parasha called Parshas Balak, all of them are recorded for all of posterity, l'netzach nitzachim, as brachos for Klal Yisrael, and they were converted into klalos? How could that possibly be? Why would Hashem codify this in the Torah, the netzach nitzachim, the eternal book, if these brachos are not really brachos? Number two, why is the bracha of Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, singled out as the one which, although it was a klala in Bilam's mind, that was his intention, would be transformed into a bracha? Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the love for the Jewish people, is doing it in one case, why doesn't he do it in all the other brachas? Meaning in all the other klalas, if you follow my point. Question number three. The pasuk that we saw, "Vayafoch Hashem Elokecha lecha es haklola lebracha," which means that God converts one of those klolos, only one, klola in singular, to a bracha, and that's the bracha Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. Then how could the Torah say, "Ki ahevcha Hashem Elokecha"? God is going to do so out of the love that He has for the Jewish people. Well, if He loves the Jewish people, what about the other nine klolos? Why didn't He convert those into brachas? And four, number four, when the Torah says "Vayafoch Hashem Elokecha lecha es haklola lebracha," and it's referring to that klola of Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, which become an absolute bracha, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, how did Chazal know? The pasuk only says that Hashem converts a single klola into a bracha out of His love for the Jewish people. Which klola does He turn to a bracha? Chazal must have found some clue that it's this bracha, and they single out that bracha. How did they know such a thing? So again, although the pasuk, as Rav Abba says, is clearly indicating that one klala was converted into an absolute eternal bracha, but how did Rabbi Abba know it was this one? So to answer all these questions, we have to go back to basics. Why was Bilam powerful, or what word can I use?
What was his power?
Yeah, what was his power? Let's just say it like that. Again, I'm looking for other words, but what was his power? So this is a sugya in Masechta Brachos. And the sugya in Masechta Brachos is based on the Haftorah from Micha that we're going to read this Shabbos, Yom Yirtzeh Hashem. Micha says, "Ami zacharna, please remember my people. Maya atz Bolak Melech Moav, Ma'ono also Bilam ben Bi'ar men Ashitim ad Gilgal." And here we get to the punchline of the pasuk: "Leman das tzidkos Hashem." When the pasuk describes Bilam and his intention to harm the Jewish people, it says "Leman das." Bilam had something called das, some sort of a knowledge. He was privy, or he had access to a certain body of knowledge, which is called Tzidkos Hashem. So that's what the pasuk indicates. So the Gemara in Brachos tries to figure out, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, what this means. And the Gemara says the following, that there's a moment in every day which is called Za'am, of divine justice or wrath. And Bilam had an uncanny ability to know that das, which means that he could isolate that moment. Again, when I say a moment, the Gemara calls it I don't remember exactly the fraction, but it's one over, I don't know how many thousands, whatever. But whatever that split, we'll call it a split second, is of Zam, And this is exactly what Bilam says to Balak in this week's parasha. Again, if you look it up in Chav Gimel Ches, but I'm not going to take time for you to find Chav Gimel Ches. It says, Ma ekov lo kova el, uma ezom lo zom Hashem. The emphasis here is Zam. Zam is a code word for that very split second on a daily basis that God gets angry. And Bilam says that he was looking on a daily basis for that moment of Zam, because on that moment of Zam, he knew that he would successfully curse the Jewish people. That was his sorcery, that was his power. But Hashem says, Tzidkas Hashem, I'm going to do a great compassion for the Jewish people. They call Osam Ayomim, God suspended Zam for all those days that Bilam was trying to curse the Jewish people. And that's why Bilam was unsuccessful. So again, if you ask me what's the power of Bilam HaRasha, and why does he think that he can get away with cursing the Jewish people, where did it emanate from? The answer is because he had a school of power to take Chas V'Shalom the Midas HaDin of that daily Zam and to arouse the Midas HaDin. You know, it's almost like if there are certain cells in the body that aren't functioning correctly, so you know, a surgeon maybe would make contact with that area of the body so that it activates it. So there's something called the Zam, and that moment of Zam is the potential for Midas HaDin, for absolute justice and wrath of God to the Jewish people, to remember their iniquities, Chas V'Shalom. And Bilam was able to touch that moment of Zam and activate it. But Hashem did a tremendous miracle, and he removed Zam just for that short period of time. That had an impact, by the way, on the universe, but that's not for now. And again, the Pasuk in Koheles testifies that Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta, that every single person on the face of the earth is guilty of some iniquities, and he thought that he could curse the Jewish people on that moment of Zam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the whole nature, the metaphysical nature of the universe at that period of time, to remove the kas, the Zam, that would have naturally emerged on a daily basis at that moment of Zam. If this be the case, then we have a zele umaseh, meaning an absolute polar, extreme opposite confrontation of Bilam on the one hand and Moshe Rabbeinu on the other hand. And this is based, how do I know that Moshe Rabbeinu represents or personifies the opposite of Bilam? Because the Pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Daled says, Lokom Navi Od Bi Yisrael Kamoshe. And Chazal say that it says Od, Lokom Navi Od, and then it says Be Yisrael Kamoshe. So Chazal say, it's a Sifri at the end of the Chumash, Be Yisrael Lokom. Moshe is the greatest Navi amongst the Jewish people. But Umas HaOlam come. There will be a heathen prophet who will have some sort of koach that is as great as that of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ezezeh, which heathen prophet is being alluded to? Chazal say that's Bilam ben Beor. Again, Rabbi Osai, this is a very difficult sugya unto itself. We're just going to learn one shot in the sugya. This is like the tip of the iceberg. I hate to leave this sugya behind. It's a great sugya. What does it mean that there's a heathen prophet that is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Bilam? And the answer is, at this point, again, there are many answers, but this perspective is that there are two kochos in the universe. One is called the koach of tumah, of din, of justice, of avenging man's iniquities, and the satan, and all the other bad things that we think about. And the other end of the perspective is kedusha, is sanctity. And sanctity here, in this context, is going to be the antithesis of Midas HaDin, of the Din, of the Zam, of Bilam. Again, there is Din in the world, there is justice. We saw it in World War II in the Shoah. There's tremendous Zam, and that's Din, and that's horrible. And Moshe Rabbeinu represents the exact opposite. He represents Chesed, he represents converting Din into Rachamim. And that's why the Pasuk says in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, V'ata, and now Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hanicholi, let go of me. V'yichar api bohem v'chalem, and I will destroy the Jewish people. So Moshe gets up after he hears this in the very next Pasuk. This is in Parshas Ki Tisa. He says, V'yachel Moshe's p'nei, V'yichal Moshe's p'nei Hashem al-kav, V'yomer, Lama Hashem yechra apcha be'amecha. This is on page 2 if you have the 2 pages. Asher Tzeisa Me'eretz Yisrayim, the nation that you took out of Mitzrayim. And at the end of this whole parasha, Vayinochem Hashem al ha-ra'a asher diber la'asiyamo. Bless you. So it comes out that at a time of Midas Adin, in the aftermath of Chet HaEgel, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who represents the Mid of Chesed and Rachamim. And as a result of his Vayechal Moshe, which we read on in Tainis, Hashem says, Vayinochem al ha-ra'a. Hashem's compassion overcomes his Midas Adin. So that Midas HaDin, to activate the Zam against Israel, is represented, is personified by one heathen prophet. That's who?
Yeah.
That's Bilam. And the ability to negate or neutralize the Midas HaZam, the Midas HaDin, is represented, is personified by one particular prophet of Israel. Who's that? Moshe. There are two opposites. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. And now we can begin to understand Bilam's great battle against the Jewish people. He has 10 klolos, all of which, as the Maral said, were meant to undermine the 10 brachos of Klal Yisrael. And his first attempt to curse Klal Yisrael is that Matovo Lecha Chazal say means he wanted to cut them off from Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos. Hashem focuses all his attention, all his energy, his with a capital H, to convert that one single klala of cutting off the Jewish people from Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos to a bracha. To transform that klala into a bracha. Why? Why that one single klala? Why was that the most dangerous klala? And why was converting it into a bracha the most powerful bracha that Hashem could give for Jewish history? And in order to understand that, we have to analyze the nature of the avodah, the service of God, in these two places. I don't mean specific places, I mean categories. Bate Knesios and Bate Midrashos. Number one, what do we do in a Beis HaKnesses? Tefillah, correct? Tefillah. How many times a day do we daven? Three times a day, Keneged, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shachris, Mincha, and Arvus. What do? In a Beis Medrash, we focus our avoda on Limud Torah, Talmud Torah. We have now two places that conceptually represent two forms of avoda. One is Tefillah in the Bate Knesios, the other is Torah in the Bate Midrashos. These two modes of avoda represent two pipelines, so to speak, of Kedusha, of sanctity, which connect physical, biological, limited man, flesh and blood, with eternity, with divinity, with HaKadosh Baruch. And the Gemara says that there are two Zmanim. There's Zman Tefillah and there's Zman Torah. What is the commonality between Tefillah and Torah that sets them apart from all other methods of Avodah? And these are the pipelines, so to speak, of Kedusha that connect us to the one above. And the answer is that of all modes of avoda, which methods of avoda have the power to transform din into rachamim? And the answer is tefillah and Torah. In the case of tefillah, we go back to the parsha of Yitzchak and Rivka. You remember that Yitzchak and Rivka are desperate to have children. They're suffering as a childless couple from what we call Midas HaDin. And the Pasuk says, Vayater Yitzchak Lashem. Yitzchak, with his supplications in front of God, Lenochach Ishto, in the presence of his wife, praised Hashem, Ki Akarahi, because she's childless. Now the word Vayetar has a shoresh. You know, every word in Hebrew, when it's conjugated and it's converted to a verb, has its root. What are the three letters? The root of vayetar, the noun of vayetar, ayin tof resh. Does anybody know what ayin tof resh is? You'll be a little disappointed. It's a pitchfork. Okay, a pitchfork. And it also means supplications, entreaties. Meaning, if you look up in a Hebrew dictionary, if you get a good Hebrew dictionary, I don't have one now, look up the word atar, ayin tof resh, and you'll find two definitions. One will be an entreaty, which means a supplication, a prayer, and the other will be a pitchfork. Lama Nimshala, the Gemara asks, why this mashal of the tefillah of Yitzchak to Atar, lo malacha? Ma Atar, what do you do with a pitchfork? Ma fechas atfua. You know, you put it into the pile of hay, or a pile of wheat, and you want to turn over the wheat in the goren in order to transport it from one place to the other. So there's a process of conversion, if you will, aftfiloson shel tzaddikim, also like a pitchfork that turns over the grains, mahafeches daito shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimidas achzorius lemidas rachmanus. When it says about Yitzchak vayater, it means that he was able to transform the midas adin and turn it over into a midas arachamim, so that he and Rivka would have a child. That's the power of tefillah in a Beis HaKnesses, to convert Midas HaDin and transform it into Midas HaRachamim. Now we get to Eisak HaTorah. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah that the greatest Torah is called Torah Shel Chesed. Chesed is the opposite of Din. And the Gemara darshins the Pasuk that we recite every Friday night from Mishlei, from Eishes Chayil, Pia Pascha B'Chachma V'Torah Chesed Al Lashona. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, Torah's chesed? The Gemara thinks the word Torah here means the study of Torah. And the study of Torah is called chesed. V'chiyesh Torah shel chesed? What does it mean, Torah shel chesed? And the Gemara answers, yeah, there is such a thing, a category called Torah shel chesed. And what is Torah shel chesed? It's Torah al menas lelamda. If one studies Torah, not for his own self-fulfillment, but in order to transmit the Torah to others, that's the highest level of Torah. That's called Torah Shel Chesed. And the power of Torah Shel Chesed is to sweeten din, so to speak, which is very harsh and very bitter, and to convert it into chesed, din into chesed. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos, on the Pasuk at the end of Chumash, it says, Haskes Ushma Yisrael, Asu Kitos Kitos V'asku B'Torah. We have to get together, Jews, in groups to learn together. Each one teaches the other. And that's how we are able to fulfill this mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the ideal way. And the Gemara quotes a statement of Rabbi Yossi, a very harsh statement, interpreting a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Cherev el Abadim. Again, we're talking about harsh punishment, Chas v'Shalom. And Rabbi Yossi says, what is this allusion to Cherev el Abadim? It says Cherev al Soneim. He doesn't even want to say that it's a reference to Talmidei Chachamim. So he uses a euphemism. He calls it Soneim shel Talmidei Chachamim. She yoshvim bad bebad. They're sitting together in a base medrash. But I'm sorry, they're sitting in a base medrash. Oskim b'Torah, but it's bad bebad. Bad bebad means each one separately. It's like you take apart an eshkol, you know, of different branches, and each branch is separate. So why is this such a harsh punishment for the fact that different Talmidei Chacham sitting occupying the same base medrash and each one is learning on his own? What vasis shlech? So the answer is that they have an opportunity to do Torah's chesed, to sweeten din. And Torah's chesed means when two Talmidei Chacham learn together and they share ideas, each one teaches the other one. So let's say you're hearing a shiur and I'm hearing a shiur and I want to participate, I want to contribute. You tell me why my shiur is not good enough and you tell me how I can improve my shiur. That's a tremendous Torah's chesed. That's why I reach out to everyone and ask them to help me to give shiur the way they want me to give shiur. And I can improve my style. But right now my style is Shvilei Pinchas, but I can change that. I need your feedback. So I say a daf yomish. Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent. In other words, here's a potential for chesed. Here's the opportunity to do a Torah's chesed by learning with someone else, by an interchange of an exchange of ideas that will elevate the Torah to a higher level. That's called Torah's chesed. And instead he wastes it away and he learns by himself. So then what are you left with? You're left with din, because you didn't utilize the opportunity to take Torah as a method, as a means of converting din into chesed. Therefore, cherev al sonim shel Yisrael. They're gonna have cherev. They're gonna have din. God is gonna be very harsh with them, because they could have used this opportunity of learning together as a mituk din, to sweeten din, and they didn't take advantage of that opportunity. So again, Rav Osi, just to summarize, both tefillah and Torah are both respectively imbued with the inherent power to transform din into rachamim. You know, Chazal tell us in the Medrash that the Aleph, the letter Aleph, symbolically came in front of the Kisei HaKavod and said, why do you start with a base? What about me? Am I chopped liver? And Chazal say that God created the world with a base. So the Aleph says, wait a minute, I'm the first of the letters. I'm the king of the Aryeh, you know, the Lion King. Why do you create the world with a beis and not with an aleph? So the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded and says, aleph, I got something even better for you in store. You're going to be the letter for the Aseret HaDibros, so Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So when it comes to the creation of the world, I'm going to start with a beis. Why am I going to start with a beis? Because beis is lashon bracha. Aleph is lashon arur. Arur means klala. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't create the world with an aleph, but I'm going to give the Aseret HaDibros with a beis. So Rav Shlomo, I'm sorry, I'm going to give the Aseret HaDibros with an aleph. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, Kishmo Kenu, he's a Kluger, he was a brilliant man, he lived about 150 years ago, he asked the following question. He says, you're telling me that God said to the aleph, I'm gonna reserve you for the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But wait a second, Aleph is Arur. So what's going on over here? He's giving the Aseret HaDibros with the Aleph of an Arur. So Rav Shlomo Kluger gives the following answer. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, he's got to create the world with a beis, with bracha. Because this is before Matan Torah. And before Matan Torah, there's no ability, there's no potential of converting an aleph, which is aror, a din, into a bracha, into chesed, into rachamim. But at the time of the Sinas HaTorah, God says, now I'm ready to give the Torah. The Torah has within it the inherent ability to convert the aleph into a beis. Now I have no problem with the aleph, because it's already at the time of the Sinas HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give the Aseret HaDibros with the aleph. And all this is a remez that the power of Torah is to transform an aleph of an oror into a baruch, into a beis. And now we have to introduce the chiddush of the Arizal. The Arizal says that at the end of the Torah records brachos that were given on two mountains. What were the two mountains called? Har Grizim and Har Eval. He says the brachos that were given on Har Grizim emanated from Midas HaRachmim, but on Har Eval they were klolos that emanated from Midas HaDin. And the Arizal says that God gave us both, and in the framework of Torah, that if we dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah, then we have the ability to convert the Arur into a bracha, into a baruch. Is Mimela, when Bilam, getting back to Bilam, wants to cut off the Jewish people from the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. Again, please emphasize the word Beis, because Beis means two things. Right? If I look up Beis Yud Tov in a dictionary, what two definitions will I find? A house and the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's also called a Beis. So the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses are called beis because it means bracha. It means that through the study of Torah in the Beis HaMedrash and the tefillah in the Beis HaKnesses, we can convert the aleph of Aror into a beis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to now choose one Aror, one curse of Bilam, and convert it to an absolute bracha. And that's going to be the bracha of Matovu Alecha Yaakov, the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to consider all the brachos of Bilam as klolos. As we saw in the Gemara says that although God converts them to brachos, they remain klolos. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot tolerate that this low life guy called Bilam, he's going to be Mavarech Klal Yisrael. So we have to remain and retain the status of a klolo. However, and this is the paragraph, if anyone's following me on page 4, that starts with the word Ulam on the right side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel, to be blessed through these intended curses. And this is sort of like what we said before, that Yaakov Avinu wanted to coerce the Sarah Shel Esav to bless the Jewish people, and it means to admit and confess that all the brachos that Yaakov took from Esav are well deserved. So Barov Chazdov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, takes one klola, and he singles out one klola that now becomes an absolute eternal bracha. The Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos of Matov Olech Yaakov Shelo Yipasku Miyisrael Yolam, that Klal Yisrael will always eternally be endowed with the power of Tefillah and the power of Esek HaTorah, so that even when the klolos, the other nine klolos of Bilam will come to haunt the Jewish people, because that's the expression of Zam, of Midas Hadin, nevertheless the Jews are absolutely equipped with the power to vitiate those klolos, to undermine them and neutralize them. How? Through Torah and Tefillah, that have the power to transform Midas Hadin into Midas HaRachamin. And therefore, the interpretation, the meaning of Elo Ov Hashem Elokim Lishmo El Bilam, means that God did not want to hear Bilam curse the Jewish people in a way that throughout history they would have no means, no method, no fallback possibility of converting those klolos into brachos. Hashem says, "Vayafoch Hashem lechot." That was the pasuk in Dvarim that we opened up. Es haklolo, one klolo. God is going to single out one klolo, and He's going to convert it to the absolute bracha. That bracha will protect the Jewish people throughout its history against the Midas Adin that's going to come and haunt us, because sometimes we don't deserve Midas HaRachamim, but we have the ability to transform Din into Rachamim through what? Tefillah and Torah, through Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. That's what the pasuk means. Ki Ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. God knows that He cannot accept the brachos of Bilam as eternal brachos. There's going to have to be din. There's no way that Bilam's brachos can be considered absolute brachos, because we're not going to bless the Jewish people through that low-life heathen prophet. But Ahevcha Hashem Elokecha, God says, I will give you the ability to overcome the klolos of Bilam. And what ability am I going to grant you? Because I love you. And the answer is, I'm going to give you a guarantee for Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. And it's fascinating. It says, Ki Ahevcha Hashem Elokecha. God uses two different names in this pasuk at the end of Dvarim. Number one, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Rachmim. Number two, Elokecha, which is Din, Elokim. To say that although there will be Elokim, there will be justice against the Jewish people throughout its history, that the klolos of Bilam will make an impact, but nevertheless, Yud Kei Vav Kei, I promise you that one of the particular klolos, only one, will be converted absolutely to a bracha, and that's the Matov Olech Yaakov, the Batei Knesios and the Batei Shoshal Yipasku Yisrael. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei here, the love of Hashem. And therefore we begin to understand and appreciate why this bracha Matovo Alecha Yaakov becomes our refrain, our flagstaff bracha when we enter into a Beis HaKnesses, we paskin against the Marshal, we're going to recite this bracha because we're going to invoke the power of this tefillah, of this bracha, to convert any sort of power against us of din into rachamim. And therefore, and I want you to look at a paragraph that starts with the word vi'ata towards the end of the middle column here. And I see we're running out of time, so we'll try to finish up with this beautiful, shall I say, embellishment or new meaning, new in vigorous meaning to a medrash on the pasuk of Hakol Kol Yaakov Ayodayim Yudei Esav, when Yaakov comes in to take the brachos. Yitzchak says, I identify the kol of Yaakov. And this is, by the way, before he bestows the brachos, the tenfold brachos onto Yaakov. I hear the voice of Yaakov. And the Medrash says that various enemies of the Jewish people, the adversaries of the Jewish people during its history, symbolically came to Bilam. Nichnesu kol ha'omos ha'olam etzlo. And they said to Bilam, do we have a possibility of destroying the Jewish people? Were your clothes meaningful? Amar, he said, he responded, Bilam, Lechu, you want to know whether or not my clothes, in my intended form, will have a negative power and will be able to now undermine the Jewish people, attack them and destroy them? I suggest and I recommend the following, says the Medrash. This is what Bilam responded to the adversaries of the Jewish people throughout their history. Take a little trip. To where? To the Bate Knesios and the Bate Midrashos. And if you pass by and you hear the voices of Tinokos Mitzavtzefim Bekolam, you know that they're studying Torah, that they're praying to Hashem, that's going to be an omen, that's going to be a symbol to you. Ki Ein Atem Yecholim Lem, you'll never be able to destroy and vanquish the Jewish people. Why? Says the Medrash. Kvar Hivtichon Aviyam, their father has promised them Hakol Kol Yaakov, which means that Bizman Shekol Shel Yaakov Motzui Bebatei Knesios Ein Yodayim Yudei Esav, the enemies of our people will not be able to destroy the Jewish people. Why? Because it's Hakol Kol Yaakov. That kol is the kol of Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. Why does Yitzchak open up and introduce, even before he starts the brachos of Yitem Lecha, he says Hakol Kol Yaakov, because he wants to give these brachos in a way that will guarantee for all of eternity that the Jewish people will continue to exist despite the intention of their adversaries who come to Bilam and say, can we enjoy the benefits of your klolos and destroy the Jewish people? Says Bilam, the problem is you'll pass by the shuls, you'll pass by the study halls, you'll hear the kol mitzavtzefin shel tinokos, and you'll realize that kol is the kol Yaakov, which Yitzchak bestows upon Yaakov as a guarantee that there will always be a kol Yaakov, and therefore ein yodayim yudei esav. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will convert the single klola of Matovu Alech Yafku to a bracha that's going to guarantee that the Jewish people will always have that kol Yaakov of the Batei Knesios and of the Batei Midrashos. So Rabosai, just to wrap it up, this is our claim to Netzach Yisrael Yishaker, to the ultimate an eternal promise of God, because He loves us, that it'll always be Yudke Vavke on Elokecha, because of Hakol Kol Yaakov Emirtz Hashem, if we zoche to implement our purpose, our main avodos, the two primary forms, modes of avodos, of Batei Knesios and Batei Midrashos. It'll be Hakol Kol Yaakov, and Bizman Shakol Kol Yaakov is Ein Yodayim Yudei Esav. We should be zoche to Hakol Kol Yaakov throughout our wonderful, wonderful experience here in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. Kei Yiratzon. Amen.